The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, David Williams, along with
the Sam Brewski. And this is Hoop Ball Grizz. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
We are officially 1 week away from the NBA draft.
Exactly 7 days.
7 days. This time next week, I'll be sitting down to watch the draft.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about not prospects today. We're not going to break anybody down. We're not going to talk. We're going to talk about guys, but we're not, you know, pretty much any of the guys that we're talking about tonight are guys that we've covered before. Sam and I are going to bring you our top five or six, depending on who is available at 40. You look at different draft boards, different mock drafts. These guys are all over the place. Some of the guys that are on my list, I've seen them go as high as like mid first round. And then on other mock drafts, they're going like after the Grizzlies at 40. And I'm like, man, I just don't believe out of any of the guys that I have in my top five, I don't believe any of them are going to fall past the Grizzlies. Honestly, I think if two of these five guys are available at 40, I'm going to be completely surprised.
Oh, geez.
So before we jump into those, like those five guys, we're going to save that for the end. There's obviously some NBA news. If you're not up on it, I'll run you through some dates real quick. So the draft, November 18th, we've been talking about that for a while. That has not changed. That's been pretty solid for a while now. We know that. But here's the kicker. This is going to be a fast-paced, crazy exciting. I don't know what to expect, to be honest with you. They're, like, it's all going to happen super fast. So the draft is next Wednesday. Next Friday, free agency opens up at 6 p.m.
I'm excited for that.
On the 22nd, November 22nd, free agent signings can begin afternoon, 12:01 p.m. They can start signing free agents. So you can start talking to them on Friday. Sunday, 12:01, you can start signing them. Then December 1st, so 10 days later, training camp.
Uh-oh.
And they're going to have less than a month of training camp. Like, basically, they're going to have 3 weeks exactly of training camp. And then December 22nd, we get NBA basketball back super fast.
We've had this conversation before, believe it or not, almost word for word, because I remember it was a few podcasts ago we talked about, it's like, man, they only have 3 weeks to have training camp. Lo and behold, here we are.
So who do you think this is going to favor, Sam? Like,
the ones that have had so much rest time that weren't in the bubble.
You think so?
285 days, I think, is what it said.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to have a lot of teams, and especially teams, well, for example,
New
the
York
Warriors.
Knicks. Champions next year.
Shut up. I'm kicking you off the show for that.
God dang it.
Muting the mic. But it's going to be, it's going to be hectic. And to see, you know, the Lakers and the Heat, obviously it's only like 80-something days for them. What is it?
I think it was 75.
Okay, yeah. So like,
it's close.
But, you know, it's a third of the time as some of these other teams. And even teams that played late in the bubble, you know, like the conference finals
like
team.
Like the Nuggets.
We talked about that. Yeah. It's just going to – so there's definitely – you would think that there would be load management with this short of a turnaround. But there's so many things that fall into it. So the Olympics are one of the things that they were trying to get the season done before the Olympics started. But the biggest driving factor was the money.
Yep.
You know, they were going to leave. If they didn't start until mid-January, it was something like, I don't know, $50 gajillion
or
something.
I remember that.
And when they release that number, I'm like, there's no way that they're not playing before Christmas, that they are 100% going to start before Christmas. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed. We don't have the schedule yet. Usually the Christmas Day games are the first games that get announced. And for the love of God, please do not give us the Knicks on Christmas. I realize it's a tradition, but the Knicks have sucked for a long time.
Yeah, no, I can't even.
Nobody outside of Knicks fans, and maybe most Knicks fans, I don't know. I don't know any Knicks fans.
Do people even watch them anymore? I watched like four games of theirs last year.
I promise you, if you put a Grizzlies-Pelicans game on, it's going to be better than any Knicks against whoever in the hell you want to put them against. The Grizzlies-Pelicans matchup would be better. That's what I would like to see.
My man.
Two young guys, two rising stars of the game. The media has been making Zion the face of the league, the next face of the league. Ja Morant, Rookie of the Year, two boys from South Carolina. You got a good storyline there. I think that that would be a great matchup. I'd love to see that on Christmas. I'm not naive enough to think that it's legitimately going to happen this year, but I'm thinking
that would be awesome.
Within the next few years, I think that you see the Grizzlies on Christmas. I think that they're going to be a team on the rise, and Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, Brandon Clark are going to be stars rising, and it's going to be hard for the league to justify not letting them play on Christmas. So we'll get away from that.
Anywho.
Sam, did you hear the news coming out of Houston today? There's turmoil.
Turmoil, they say. So they say. Just heard about it a little bit ago. But.
Shams just tweeted out, actually, just a little bit before we started recording, that Russell Westbrook has apparently voiced that he wants out of Houston and that he would like to return to his role of floor general like he had in OKC.
I feel that.
I don't know where they're going to trade him. The contract, it's
Memphis. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
So well, that would be cool. Here's the deal. He's not going to be the floor general in Memphis.
No,
he's
not.
Russ doesn't shoot the ball well enough to play the two guard. Ja right now does not shoot the ball well enough to play two guard. It's a young core. Russ is too old. I like Russell Westbrook. I do. He's one of my favorite players. But I don't want him in Memphis. Not with this build. You know, he's been in Houston for 1 year. He was great in OKC. You didn't hear anything about, you know, bad locker room, nothing like that. People hate on Russ because people just hate him.
He's the triple-double man.
But I just don't think he's the fit for Memphis. I don't see – it's going to have to be a team that's got either a bad contract, the Knicks, Julius Randle, the 76ers maybe – You know, you know, you've got
they've got
Tobias Harris and Al Horford that are both on pretty rough contracts,
max deals or something like that.
And so that's somebody, you know, like the Sixers. And you say, oh well, what about Ben Simmons? If you get rid of Harris or Horford, you can just move Simmons to the four. He can play the four.
Oh, yeah,
and that's.
That's
it's
his
no
normal
problem.
Position anyway. That's what he was listed as anyway before he became point guard.
Yeah, so he can – Simmons can easily slide over with his size to the four. I don't know. This is just spitballing. I've not heard anything about, he's going here or there, but that's just the first team that comes to mind for me with guys that have bad contracts that would be a suitor for him would be the 76ers would be one. And then, I don't, everybody's like, oh, he's going to the Knicks. They have guys on contract that they could definitely make the money work.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about what Houston's looking for in return, and Houston gave up quite a bit to get Russ. I would think they would have to have some sort of picks in return or something of that nature. I don't know. We will see. It's going to be interesting. There are a number of different trade rumors. The trade rumor season is crazy right now. I'm loving, Dan tweeted out this morning and he said, I feel like the NBA is right on the edge of that breakout. He said the buzz around the NBA is it's ramping up a little bit, but it's not huge. I feel like we're right at the edge of that going crazy. Not his exact words, but that's what he was saying. And then you look at all these tweets tonight with the news, Stein and Shams and Woj, and there's a lot of stuff, a lot of news about the NBA coming out tonight. Oh, Houston's in turmoil. Russ is probably going to be gone. CP3, there's been talks about him to Phoenix. Windhorst said that he feels like it's more than 50-50. He thinks that there's momentum and thinks that it's likely that CP3 ends up in Phoenix.
Man.
That is the one right there. I would like to see Kelly Oubre in that trade go to OKC.
Oh, gosh.
Because OKC has got a young team. And Oubre's a little bit older than those guys, but he's not old by any stretch. But he's young. You would have Bazley, who is up and coming. He played well for them last year. That's the guy that they traded, in quote, for Brandon Clark. That's who they drafted with the Grizzlies pick when the Grizzlies moved up to take Clark. Bazley played well for them. Lou Dort played well for them. You got SGA. So, you know, you would have a core. You would have four guys. You would have Dort, SGA, Oubre, and Bazley. That's a pretty solid young core, and they have a mountain, an absolute mountain of picks coming up with the Paul George trade.
I forgot.
It's right.
They have like 15 picks. That's a joke, but they have a bunch.
They have a boatload.
They've got half the freaking first round this year. Not really.
Exaggerating a little bit. When that goes down, I'm just really interested to see where the value for Chris Paul. Obviously, you know, he showed last year he's still playing at an elite level. And
still got it.
Phoenix played outstanding in the bubble. They were probably arguably the best team in the bubble, 8-0. They done everything that they could do to make that play-in game. It just didn't fall their way. So that's just one of many things rolling around with the NBA. Dan tweeted out a little bit, like, just before Sam got here, I was on Twitter again looking, and Dan's like, does anybody remember when I tweeted out the NBA is right on the edge? And he's like, my timeline is on fire right now. And it is. It's craziness. There's been Matt Babcock. He's from Babcock Hoops. We had Derek from Babcock Hoops on last episode. So, you know, Matt tweeted out that the Spurs are there. There's talks that the Spurs are working on something big. So are the Spurs looking to move up? Are the Spurs looking, you know, there's been talks that Golden State likes LaMarcus Aldridge, and they were looking at putting a package together to get Aldridge and Golden State.
Please don't do that.
Listen, I love you know my love for LA.
I like him too.
Liked him since Texas, and then drafted by Portland, and injuries kind of derailed what could have been a pretty good team.
A very good team.
Brandon Roy, Greg Oden, mm-hmm. LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm okay seeing Aldridge go to a contender. I would not mind seeing. I do not want Golden State to win a championship at all. But what's very intriguing to me is if they make this trade and the Spurs end up in the number two slot, who do you think they're taking there?
Wiseman.
That's who you think Wiseman's coming off at two?
Yeah.
I
could see Golden State taking him too.
I think it makes sense for Golden State.
Well, they need a good big man. They don't have one.
I don't know.
Big man. I'll say it like that.
I just don't know that Wiseman is a pop guy. Might be wrong. I don't know. He's obviously Wiseman's talented. I don't know Greg Popovich on a personal level, so I can't tell you for
friends.
Sure.
What are you talking about?
We've been kicking it since back in the day. more news. The Grizzlies' 20th anniversary jersey, it wasn't really released today, but they done a photo shoot with Jaren and Brandon, and it came out. Like, they posted the Grizzlies' They posted it today. Fox Sports Grizzlies tweeted out, retweeted. You know, it's the black jerseys that say Memphis on them, Sam. You know what they are. It's the same ones.
I just want to be sure.
Yeah, they previewed them last year with the Vancouver throwbacks.
Yep.
And then we thought that we were going to get both of them last year.
Oh, man.
And it wasn't. We got the Vancouver, and we're going to get the black ones for this year. And from my understanding, they're going to have that throwback jersey along with a city jersey this year. I don't, you know, like last year they didn't have a city jersey. No. They had the Vancouver throwback and no city. But I believe, I'm not 100% on this, but
I'm quoting you.
So I had a guy with the Grizzlies tell me that he gave me a release date of the city jerseys in December. So they may actually end up having a city jersey and this throwback. I like the throwback. They had the shirts out in the store already. I ran to the store the other day and I picked up the Ja Morant, like the black and green throwback in a shirt jersey. So I'm excited. I already told the wife, I'm like, listen, when these come out, I'm dropping about $400.
No doubt.
Because there's two that I'm getting for sure, and I know that my son's going to want one. So going to be buying three of them.
I'll 100%. Be for sure buying one at least.
Yep. All right. So that's kind of all of the news. We kind of ran all around the NBA. Sam, let's roll into here.
Uh-oh.
This is a good spot.
Segue.
Yeah.
Segue.
For us to jump into our five, if they are available at 40.
Yes.
I'm going to let you run through. Do you have five or six?
I technically have six.
Okay.
I had a hard time. That's, do you just want me to run through all of them?
Yep. You can, and not fast.
Okay.
I want you to start with your lowest, and if you had, obviously you had a tie right around the bottom.
I did.
So start with your last guy and work your way up and tell me what you like about them, and we'll go from there.
Okay. All right. Well, first, like you said, Daniel Oturu. Did I say that right? Is it Oturu or Turo? I remember we've talked about this before.
I've listened to broadcasts and... Yeah, it's Oturu.
Okay. From Minnesota.
You're close enough.
Yeah, I was about to say, from Minnesota. He's 6'10". He's a big guy. Weighs 240. He's 21 years, so he's pretty young. And what I liked about him is field goal percentage. I mean, it wasn't like, it's still, of course, with big guys.
You know,
you're going to have that.
You want them to have a high field goal percentage, but his was extremely high.
Yeah, his was almost 60%.
Yeah.
Well, it was. And his free throw percentage wasn't the greatest, but it's pretty good for a big guy, too. He's 70%, 71.
Yeah, so. I mean, that 71% as a big guy is better than some of the guards that are going in this range. And so, you know, I have no problem. If a big man's shooting 70% from the line, I can handle that. If you're a guard and you're shooting less than 70%, that's not okay to me. But, all right.
That was his. The reason, because where he was falling in these mock drafts, I was kind of looking. I was like, you know, if he's here or here, yeah, take him. If these other guys are, like what you said, if they're not here.
You never know. I will say this, Sam. As I was looking, I just finished typing up my notes for the show. Well, actually, I was finishing them up when Sam walked in the door. But I was looking at big boards and mock drafts for, you know, we've known what we were going to talk about for the last about 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at them all over. And these guys, and he's one of them, that he's going anywhere from, you know, late first round to around the mid-40 area.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't know. You don't know if these guys are going to be available. This is the thing about this draft, and it's kind of – it's misleading. This draft does not have – on paper, you're looking at these guys. This draft does not have a guy that is franchise-changing. So there's no R.J. Barrett, Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, LeBron James, Damian Lillard. There's no, like, top-end guy that is just, okay, I know 100% without a doubt if I take James Wiseman, my franchise is going to uprise. If I take LaMelo Ball, you don't know that with any of these guys, and you don't technically know that with any draft. But there's some with the eye test that you feel that is the case. So there's not one of those guys at the top of this draft that is like a definite number one. You know who you're taking. But there is a lot of talent in this draft. Next year's draft is very loaded in the front end. There's a lot of guys that could be franchise-changing guys that are projected to be available in next year's draft. But I don't know talent-wise if next year's draft is going to be this deep, because there's a lot of guys, when you get outside of, say, the top 10 from, or let's just say the lottery, let's say from 15 to 40, a lot of these guys are interchangeable. You know, you can argue Cassius Stanley needs to be above Desmond Bane, or, you know, Daniel Oturu needs to be above whoever. Because there's a lot of talent, but it's not a lot of franchise changing, projected to be franchise changing guys. All right, so Tarru was six for you. Who's five, yes. Sam?
So this is where it gets hard, but we'll go ahead and just get Nate Hinton from Houston. 6'5", 210 shooting guard, 21 years old.
Sam, you're going to have to educate me on him because he's one that we had on the list, I think, to talk about, and we never got around to it. So
I like some of his numbers, man.
Okay. What do you like about him?
His three-point wasn't super great. It was right – well, I mean, it's not awful. It was right at the 30, 35, 40%, depending on what year you want. But his career, he averaged 36%.
Okay.
Free throw percentage is 80%. That's awesome. I really like that. And he's a guard, too. And I get to thinking, does Memphis really need a guard? Well, they could have a guard come off, depending on who they keep and if they trade people, so on and so forth.
You need a – so this is – there's been a lot of talk about, okay, if you are the GM for Memphis, what are you looking for? And do you want a true five? Are you looking for a true five? Because JB's under contract for two more years. And he's, you know, we got him at a good price.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a guy that you can mold behind him that's going to be a true five? Or is the plan just, I would think the plan is to slide Jaren over to the five and have Brandon play the four. But do you want a true five that's there as a backup or that can maybe start and then, you know, like play 20 to 25 minutes and then Brandon and Jaren still get their minutes? Or do you want a wing that can create? Because when Tyus Jones went out, the Grizzlies struggled.
They were in trouble.
They were.
Awful.
I don't know necessarily that you want to target a point guard per se. But when Tyus Jones went out, it showed a huge hole in this roster. Now, you got Justice Winslow coming back. Can Winslow be that guy? Good possibility he can be.
If he can stay healthy.
Yeah, he's had some injury problems.
He has.
You know, Grayson Allen is another guy that could possibly do it. And I think that he filled in, like, once they roll it to him. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks. But for sure, you want a wing that can shoot the ball. You want that, like a 3-and-D guy. And so I'm from the sounds of it, and I've not looked up this guy. You said Nate Hinton was his name?
That's it.
So a 3-and-D guy. Yep. 3-and-D wing that play the 2 or 3.
Yep, he can play. Well, they only have him listed at 2.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's big enough.
At 6'5",
yeah. He's big enough.
Yeah, 2 or 3, depending on.
And his field goal percentage, I mean, 41%.
Yeah, for a guard?
Yeah.
How many shots a game was he taking?
Do I have that? Oh, no, I don't on this stat.
That's okay.
I don't have
that's
on
okay.
This stat.
Yeah. We weren't looking into a big breakdown on these guys anyway. So, Nate Hinton. All right, 4.
Ooh, I have another. Let's go Peyton Pritchard.
Peyton Pritchard.
From Oregon. We covered him, too.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Yep.
6'1", 190 point guard, 22 years old. Let's see if I got him.
That would be, he would slide into like a third point guard role. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, you don't need a dominant guy in a third. You want a guy, if Tyus goes down, if Ja's off the floor, you want a guy that can facilitate the offense. And I think, you know.
And he can do that.
Yeah.
Because his numbers here, his last year with Oregon, he averaged 5.5 assists. He was right
He can shoot the three.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was it?
42% if you round it up.
Yeah.
And his field goal percentage was 47%.
So he can shoot the ball. I remember talking about him. I like Pritchard. All right, Sam, who is three?
Three. This is hard. Elijah Hughes, Syracuse.
Okay. All right. You ain't got to tell me about him.
Yeah,
he's on my list as well.
I was about to say, you know all about him.
Yep. And most of these guys that we're talking about, if you don't know anything about them, if you haven't listened to previous episodes, you can go back a few episodes. And we've been breaking down prospects. Elijah Hughes is a guy that we covered fairly early on. I've had my eye on him. Really, really good shooter. He was the guy at Syracuse. There's questions about his defense because he played in Boeheim's zone scheme. But he is a good athlete. I think that he would be great. He's 4 on my list, so don't blame you there.
Fair enough.
Yep, so he's right there for Sam and I. He's kind of just 3 and 4. All right, who you got?
This was hard. This is the hard part now. So I'm just going to go ahead and do it because, like you said, everybody on Twitter is ranting and raving about Mason Jones.
You got him at 2?
I do.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that, man. So there were questions.
Well, see, it would have been one, but I'm saving this one for...
Okay.
I just made a quick move here. So.
Mason Jones was almost on my list, and there are questions about Mason Jones's defense. Obviously, he was a number one option. Him and Isaiah Joe, they were like 1A, 1B at Arkansas. And so you don't want your guy that's taking all your shots having to work super hard on the defensive end as well. So questions about his defense, question about his athleticism. He came out of high school. He was heavy, lost some weight, filled it up. Man, that dude can score.
Yes,
for Arkansas.
That's what I like about him right there.
Great free throw shooter. There's a lot of good things. About Mason Jones.
Serious range. And
we talked to our guy from, you know, John Chepkevich came on and talked to us about Mason and Isaiah Joe.
Yes.
And nothing wrong with Mason Jones. If the Grizzlies end up drafting him, I'm completely fine. I feel like if they want him, I think that they could make a trade and get a pick beyond 40 and get him, because I'm not seeing him go before 40 anywhere.
In some of these mock drafts, he ain't going nowhere.
I know.
It's nuts.
For a guy, so obviously, like the questions, but his athleticism, you know, it was that was a big thing. But he apparently increased his vertical 10 inches with the training that he done after when the season ended to where he is now. I saw a report, and I don't remember who it was from. I apologize. But there were talks that he increased his vertical 10 inches. And so that's huge. That's some people are just freak athletes. They just have it. Other people have to work for it. And Mason Jones seems to be a guy that's not afraid to work for it. All right, Mason Jones at 2. So who does that leave for your number one, Sam?
Isaiah Joe.
He's going double Arkansas,
man. That's why it was hard.
Here's the thing. I've got Isaiah Joe at 2 on my board.
Cool.
And it's wishful thinking, because I honestly do not believe Isaiah Joe is going to be on the board at 40. There's a lot of mock drafts where he's going late first round, early part of the second round.
I've seen him where he's dropping to like 45 in a couple of them too, and yeah, I just don't see
those. I don't buy those, man. There's nothing. So if you watch video, if you study Isaiah Joe, mm-hmm. there's nothing about this kid that tells me that he's going to drop past Memphis.
No.
There's no reason for this kid to drop past Memphis. If he gets to Memphis and Memphis does not draft him, man, I'm
selling all my Memphis stuff. You lost me.
I'm not doing that. I'm going to be disappointed. If Isaiah Joe is on the board and Memphis does not take him, I'm going to be disappointed.
Him or Mason Jones, make your pick now.
Mason will definitely be there. I don't think Isaiah will be there. But like I said, he's 2 on mine. So we had a couple guys, Elijah Hughes and Isaiah Joe. Those are only 2 that we had that were the same.
How about it? Yep. I figured we might have a couple more. That's cool.
Yeah. So number 5 for me, and again, man, it was tough because there's a lot of guys that I really, really like. And when I told Sam what we were going to do, and then I sat down and I could list all 5 or 6 guys right off the top of my head of, okay, yeah, I like Xavier Tillman, Elijah Hughes, Jordan Wara, Cassius Stanley. Like, you know, I could just run through all of these names of guys that I like that may be available. And I'm like, holy crap, man. We've talked about a lot of people, and I don't know that I can narrow this down. So it took some work for me. But Jordan Wara from Louisville, he's a guy that can really shoot the ball, good defender, really great defender. And I think a 3-and-D guy would be a huge fit. An excellent fit for the Grizzlies. A guy that can, you know, play off of the ball, catch it, shoot it at a high percentage. And Jordan Wara can do that. I already told you guys, Elijah Hughes was 4 for me. Not going to talk about him anymore. I already did. Cassius Stanley from Duke is 3. This is a guy super athletic. He doesn't shoot the ball all that well, but it seems like when you're looking at this front office, they're wanting young athletic guys that can play more than one position, and Cassius Stanley is that guy. I don't know that he will be there at 40 either. Obviously, you know, we're just taking a guess at it, man.
Speculating.
Yeah, because there's so many. I've seen Stanley go as high as, man, I can't remember who's setting it at 23, but 23, I think. Is it the Bucks that are at 23?
Yeah, I think maybe, you're right.
I can't remember. Wherever the Bucks are in the late first round, I saw him possibly going to the Bucks. Sam's going to pull it up for me. You're the man, Sam. Uh-huh. But I saw him going as early to the Bucks in the first round, the Celtics with their later first round pick, and, you know, going right in front of the Grizzlies in the second round. But I really like his game. I think that he would be a guy that you could just plug in and let him roll with this team. And I would love to see some Jai to Cassius Stanley lobs, because I think that could be freaky good.
Milwaukee is 24.
24. I was close.
Yeah. Dude. I knew it was something, because I was just thinking it's 23, 24. It was somewhere in there.
Yeah.
23 is Utah Jazz.
Okay. So, you know, 24 to the Bucks is as high as I've seen him going. But, again, hey, you don't know. You get talks and you get guys that are in the industry that are saying, okay, yeah, this kid's going to go here. But nobody knows what the team's true board is and who they have and who they're going after. So, yeah, I'm not sure. But, any of these guys that we've talked about fall, I'm good with the Grizzlies taking them at 40. Another guy, so my last guy, my number one, is actually a guy that we've not covered on the podcast. He's a guy, a name Derek talked to us about whenever he was on the show, Derek from Babcock Hoops. He talked about Jay Scrubb. So I'll give you a little rundown on Jay Scrubb. Jay Scrubb is hands down, no doubt about it, Division I basketball talent. He had a rough high school career. He started off on the west end of Louisville. Things didn't go all that well for him. His grades were not that good. He transferred to a different school, and things started to shift for him. He worked his butt off, but he didn't get his GPA up high enough to actually play for a Division I school. So he went to John A. Logan in Southern Illinois, and he played there, and he won the JUCO Player of the Year. This kid, 6'6". Crazy, crazy athletic, great finisher. He can finish with either hand. I want to say his vertical is like 43 inches or something. Like it was That's something stupid. Stupid. Like, really great athlete. Jump he can shoot it from me. Outside. You know, he can distribute the ball. I have an email out to his coach. He responded to me. I'm trying to work out scheduling to get the coach from John A. Logan on the podcast. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm sure going to try.
Can't hate on that.
I really like Jay Scrubb, and if any of these guys, any of the guys that Sam listed, any of the guys that I've listed, if Jay Scrubb is available, I'm taking him over any of the guys that we've talked about in a landslide. Matt Babcock he's the only one, Babcock Hoops is the only one that I've seen have Jay Scrubb high on their board, and he had him going to Boston at the end of the first round. And, you know, then there's talks. A lot of them have changed, but, you know, Babcock Hoops is the only one that has had Jay Scrubb going that high. You know, I really, really like this kid's game. I know junior college is not Division I. You can't always tell. The level of competition is different, but there have been plenty of guys. One, Jimmy Butler is one that he started in junior college and then transferred to a Division I school, went to the NBA, made a great career, arguably one of the best players in the NBA right now. So, Jay Scrubb is my number one. Sam, what are you reading on him over there?
I'm just looking him up here because I've heard of him, but just wanted to know more about his stats and what it looked like. And for his over his career at John A., he averaged 21 points, one block, one steal, two assists, right at 8 rebounds. His free throw percentage is 75%. 3-point, we'll round it up to 40. Field goal percentage is great at 52. I mean, and he played it, you know, 59 games, and he started 55 of them. So,
yeah.
I mean, pretty good.
There is nothing about this kid that I don't like. Mm-hmm. You know, I've read and watched videos, and I think, you know, I've dug into him. He has intrigued me more than anybody else as a guy that I think out of anybody that we've talked about, outside of maybe Mason Jones, a lot of these other guys have been projected by a lot of the boards to go earlier, before 40. And I can promise you this, if Jay Scrubb is a Memphis Grizzly, I will be the first one with a Jay Scrubb jersey.
I might be the second.
I'm buying it.
Depending on what number he wears, but...
Yeah, so
hey, it's available too. 25, my man.
Yeah, he's not gonna wear 25.
Oh, come on now.
Nobody wants to wear that number.
Sure they do.
Only scrubs wear that number.
You're dumb.
Mark Price is one of the best point guards to ever play the game, and he wore 25. So you know, I'm kidding. Of course,
Steve Kerr also wore 25.
Steve Kerr's ass.
Oh,
anyway, that's all we got. We don't have any more. That's our. Sam's top six, my top five.
Well, I had to have six.
Who's who? Who do we want the Grizzlies to draft?
Top seven now. Jay Scrubb, let's go.
I sold Sam on Jay
Scrubb.
I'm
sold. Look out.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Before we let you go, it is like Christmas around here at HoopBall. Monday, as of Monday, the HoopBall premium package is officially out. Go to the website, hoop-ball.com, and get signed up. They've got a lot of... HoopBall 360 is the way to go. There's a lot of different options. If you're just a bets guy, they've got a wager package. If you're a fantasy guy, they got a fantasy package. If you're a DFS guy, they've got a DFS package. We're HoopBall here. We've got it, man. We've got whatever doing.
I just did it, too. I was like, we have everything.
That's right. We here at HoopBall. Listen, the Brewski 150 has outperformed the competitors by a mile. Like, the win percentage is like 70-something. It's like 74% compared to the competitors. The Brewski Top 150 has outperformed every other site by 70-plus percent. Go over and check it out. HoopBall, hoop-ball.com. Check out their premium stuff. I signed up. I got my premium. I done the 360. I'm not a bets guy. Probably won't utilize that a whole lot, but the DFS and the fantasy stuff is there. You're going to get early access to the Brewski 150 if you get over there and you get signed up now. Here's the thing, Sam. I've looked at other draft guides. I've bought magazines. I've read and read and read. A lot of these draft guys go 150, 200 players deep. The freaks here at HoopBall went 400 players deep.
Jeez.
400 players deep. So, obviously, Brewski is a stud. We know that he is. And I'm not talking about Sam. I'm talking about Aaron, the leader here at HoopBall.
Well, everybody knows I'm a stud already.
Whatever, man. Brewski's 150. If you don't know about it, you need to know about it. Go to hoop-ball.com. Get signed up today. They got all the prizes. It's easy to navigate. Get over there. If you've been finishing at the bottom of your fantasy league and you want to be on the come up, I suggest that you go over there and you sign up for at minimum the fantasy pass. But there's a lot of other great tools over there that are available. We still got our other sponsors. HoopBall is not a sponsor. We are HoopBall. We still got the discounts going over at Manscaped for the Lawnmower 3.0 using the HoopBall20 promo code. You can still go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code HoopBall and get a 100% initial deposit match. All that stuff is great and grand, but there's nothing better than the Brewski 150, the HoopBall premium stuff, hoop-ball.com, premium. Go over there. Get your fantasy pass. Get your HoopBall 360. Get your wager pass, whatever it is, and get to winning. You can find the show on Twitter at hoopball.com. What's wrong with me, Sam?
There's no telling what's wrong with you.
I'm talking hoop-ball.com. Get the premium
stuff. There you go.
We'll start it over. You can find the show on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz. I am at DWheel2111. Sam is?
It is SammyB1118. That is a capital S, lowercase A-M-M-Y, capital B. 1118.
We are super close to the draft. We are super close, just slightly over a month away from Grizzlies basketball. We're not changing the outro.
Six weeks. You know
what it is, Sam.
Until next time.
Go Grizz.
Go Grizz. Jaeger.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.